Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochim Daf Lamed. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 10 lines from the top of Daf Lamed. You will notice in the markings that we have a double underline highlighting Rav and Shmuel. On the side of our Gemara, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, the Nosei, the topic, Mivneh, including the structural note, we have Shnei Deos Beinyan Kederos Chometz BePesach. We'll see two opinions regarding Kederos Chometz. These are Chometz pots that had absorbed Chometz. And what is the din regarding keeping those pots over Pesach? Omar Rav, Kederos BePesach Yishoveru. Now we're talking about earthenware or clay pots. If you have such pots and they had absorbed chometz from before Pesach, so they are to be rid of, smash them. V'amai, why do you say smash them? L'shinu achara Pesach. Why not leave them over till after Pesach? V'levid behu shelo b'minon. And then cook in those pots some food that's something other than grains, other than that which is ordinarily chometz. In other words, why not cook up a soup or cook some meat in those pots after Pesach? So, and now this suggestion, we should note, based on Rashi, Rashi points out that Rav conceded that chometz after Pesach in a mixture form, if it's mixed with some substance other than itself, in other words, non-baked goods, non-grain-related things, meat, vegetables, etc. So, if you have chometz after Pesach, shelo b'mino b'mashehu muter, in other words, as long as you cannot perceive the taste, if it's just a negligible amount that is present, since it's after Pesach and it's in a mixture form, in a min b'she'eno mino mixture, it would be all right. V'hai mashu choshevduen, the situation we have here where you're dealing with absorbed taste that's in the walls of the pot, that's no different than a case of mashu. So Rav himself is lenient under such circumstances. So why does Rav say smash the pots when this option exists? So simply leave the pots over till after Pesach and cook up in the pot some meat. So the Gemara answers, why is Rav so stringent? Gezeiro dilma osu lemevad behu b'mino. We're afraid that he might cook in those pots some chometz-type substance after Pesach, being two like substances. You have the chometz that was absorbed in the pots that was ovar olova Pesach, that had been extant through Pesach. In other words, the absorption was extant through Pesach, and now that which you are cooking up in it after Pesach, that would be a min b'mino situation. And even though it's achar zmano, Rav nevertheless is machmir. By the way, take advantage of the chart that you see on the bottom of Chof Tes Amud Beis, where you can see that is Rav's position, that min b'mino is osur shelo b'zmano. So even though the suggestion on its own would have been all right, but nevertheless, he makes a gzera, he imposes a restriction not to leave the pots over till after Pesach, because you might come to cook up in them mino, and a mino, min b'mino taroves, after Pesach is osir. Ushmuel Omar, lo ishavru, avomashi lu lachar zmano. Shmuel says, don't smash them, rather leave the pots over till after Pesach. The Ovid Behu, Bein Bemino, Bein Shelo Bemino. And then cook up in it after Pesach whatever you like, even mino, even a like substance that had been absorbed in the walls of the pot. Cook such a substance after Pesach. In other words, if you had, let's say, cooked up noodles, which are chometz, before Pesach in these pots, the pots had then absorbed chometz taste. After Pesach, cook up in it more noodles, and it would be okay. The Ozda Shmuel L'tameh, Shmuel, in being lenient like he is consistent with his own opinion, his own reasoning, as he said elsewhere. D'Yomar Shmuel, Lano de Mezavni Kandi, Shmuel said to those that are salesmen or merchants of pots, Kandi or pots, he told them, Ashfu Zvini A Kandichi, I want you not to raise the prices on your pots. So he warns them, keep the prices as they are, don't raise the prices. V'ilo, if you don't cooperate with me, Darshino Lechu Karebi Shimon, I will then popularize, I will announce to the public that the pots that they had, the old clay pots that had absorbed chometz taste, are mutter after Pesach, and you won't have to whom to sell your new pots after Pesach. People will then realize that their old pre-Pesach chometz pots, clay pots, are okay. So the Gemara says, what kind of threat is that? V'lidrosh lehu, why not actually say thusly? Da Shmuel k'Rebbe Shimon sevirale. Shmuel holds like Rebbe Shimon that chometz sh'ovar olav ha-Pesach, chometz that it was that passed through Pesach, after Pesach it is mutter. So what was Shmuel using that as a mere threat when that is Shmuel's actual position? The Gemara says, Asrei de Rav Havi. It was an area, community, a town, a city that Rav was the legal authority. So being that that's the case, so there's a certain accepted decorum and we'll say behavior on the part of scholars that when you're in the locale of someone with whose opinion you differ, you have to concede to that differing opinion. So that's why he didn't say straight out that the halacha is like Reb Shimon. After all, Rav, with regard to chometz she'ovar olav ha-Pesach, he holds like Reb Yehuda that chometz itself, that over olav ha-Pesach, is something that is osur. We continue in the Gemara with a new topic. On the side, you see a nosei, a topic heading, and the slash mark in the Gemara indicates that that which follows is a new trend of thought. So on the side, we've written, Tanur Shenimrach Beshuman Besori, an oven that was smeared, that was greased with meat-based fats. We should note that in baking breads, as far as the description of the tanur of the Gemara, breads were, we'll just call them hunks of dough that were slapped on the inner side of the tanur. And here we're describing greasing that inner side of the tanur. And on that inner side, you'll then slap the breads. The dough will stick there and bake in that fashion. Now, we were discussing here breads that were baked in an oven that was greased with meat-based fats. Ma din halechem shnefa bo. What is the law regarding that bread? Now, the idea being that people eat their bread with all kinds of dishes. So the optimal situation would be bread that is what we call parav, that is not milchig, it's not dairy, nor is it fleshig, nor is it meat-based. We want to have parav the bread so that you don't come to eat the bread with some substance other than itself. In other words, if it's meat bread, we don't want you coming to eat it with some cheese. Or if you have a dairy bread, we wouldn't want you eating it with a slice of salami or some hamburger. So here we have an oven that was greased with meat-based fats. Let's read this now in the Gemara. Hu tanura detochu be tichya. tochu is to smear the insides with tichya, with this meat-based fats. Osra Rava bar Ahiloi, Rava prohibited lemechle lerifta, to eat bread baked in that situation, afilu b'milcha, even with salt, let alone eating that bread with some cheese. That's obviously forbidden, being that it would have absorbed a meat taste to it, but he prohibits eating it even with salt, which is the normal way that people would eat their bread. He says he prohibits that. Let's read this line again. Osra rabo rova bar iloi lemechlo lerifto afilu b'milcho le'oilam. In other words, this the tanur that produces breads, those breads will be osir forever. Dilma osi lemichle b'kuska. The fear being that he might eat those breads baked in this meat, fat, greased oven. He might eat those breads. But kuscha is a dairy dip. The Gemara asks, and you'll notice this is a long question. The question itself is lasts till the fourth line from the top of Amud Beis. Meisvei ein loshin eso isa b'cholav. Here we have a similar situation, but in this case we're dealing with something dairy. So it says we don't knead dough with milk, the imlosh, and if one does so, kol ha-paskula asura, the entire loaf is forbidden, that they hergo avera, because of what one is accustomed to. Now what does that mean, what's one accustomed to? One is accustomed to eating bread together with his meat. So if you prepared dairy bread, there's an obvious problem that will arise. So we forbid eating that bread. Kayotse bo, on a similar note, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Ein toshin es atanu ba'alya. One does not grease his oven with alya, is a meat-based fat. The im tosh, kol ha-paskula asura, and if one does smear the oven with this meat-based fat, kol ha-paskula asura, the bread is also ad shiyasik es hatanur. Until, now notice we've dashed underline this phrase, until he fires up the oven. By firing up the oven, that will expunge any absorbed meat fats that are in it, and your oven will then be allowed. And so we emphasize, the Gemara emphasizes, ha hu sakatano miyashori, if the oven is in fact fired up, so the oven becomes mutter. So Tiyufta de Rava bar Ahiloi, this would appear then to be a repudiation of Rava bar Ahiloi, who said that an oven that's greased with meat-based fats is permanently forbidden. So here we see that's not so. The Gemara says Tiyufta, that in fact is a repudiation. So this Tanaic source shows you that an oven that was greased with meat-based fats is not permanently forbidden. It has a way, we have a way of what we call kashering it, of expunging the problem. Omar le Ravina le Ravashi, v'chi me'achar di toisiv Rava bar Eloi, in light of the fact that Rava bar Eloi has been refuted, amai ko'omar Rav, why does Rav say, k'deiros b'pesach ishaveru, the clay pots that had absorbed chometz must be smashed. Why should that be? Do they not have a way of fixing them? Omar le, so Ravashi answers, Hosam tanur shel mateches, the tanur that had a solution by firing it up was a metallic oven. So that firing it up is a solution. Hocha, Rav's din concerning the kederos is talking about the kederos shel cheres. And as such, cheres is clay pots don't lend themselves to being kashered, having that which was absorbed into them, having it expunged. The Iboy Esema, another approach is Hava Hava Shel Cheres. the both substance, both examples, the oven and the kederos, are in fact clay. Now the question is, if it's clay, so then how can an oven have that which is absorbed into it expunged? We just got finished with receiving an impression that clay does not have any solution. So the Gemara says that is not entirely true. Zeh hasekon mibefnim, v'zeh hasekon mibachutz. When you're dealing with the oven, the inner walls of the oven happen to be they were smeared with the fat. So the inner walls were smeared with the fats, and they absorbed the problematic substance. And the oven itself is fired up from within. The oven is essentially a cylindrical shaped entity. In fact, a tanur in Masechet Shabbos is described as something that's wide at the bottom and narrows at the top, and coals are placed inside of it. And as a result, the heat level builds up to be quite great, and that causes the whatever is absorbed in its walls to be released or to be voided. As opposed to v'zeh hasekon mibachutz, when you talk about pots are when they're subjected to fire, that would be from the outside, and the effect that the external fire has on the that which was absorbed into the walls of the pot is more limited, a limited effect. Hence, they cannot be kashered. The Gemara says, suggests, or v'chitemon, if you suggest, hachinami levid le hasog mifnim, hachinami, by the kederos, why not fire them up from within? The Gemara says, a person wouldn't do that. Chayis ole mishum depako. He is afraid that if you were to, let's say, load up a pot with coals, the intensity of heat will cause them to crack, as opposed to a tanur, which is constructed differently. So the pots will crack. Rashi says, "Chayasalayu v'ishoris lay al yedei hesek panim." If the halacha would allow that method of firing it up from within, moira hetera, person will then rationalize v'somich ahesek bibachutz. He will rely on an external source of heat in order to kashem, and that's really ineffective. Hilkoch, hai buchya heseko mibachutzu. Buchya, Rashi says, klishu mera ofim shikorin tiles v'oifenu mitagden bo kikar. This is a type of tile or ceramic plate that people would roast things or bake things on it. Now, the nature of it is that the heat is coming from the other side. In other words, you would put food on one side of this tile and the heat would come from the other side. That's a description of heseko mibachutz, and therefore it's osir. Therefore, if it, let's say, had been used, it would have been smeared with fats, dairy, let's say meat-based fats, and you bake bread on it, so the bread would be that buchyo could not be kashered for future bread baking. V'imalyo gomri shapir domi. If you fill it up, this buchyo, fill it up with coals, then that will effectively kasher it, remove whatever a problematic absorption it had experienced. As you can see, there's a slash mark, and that leads us to a new trend of thought. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading with a mivneh, a structural note. The diamond is used to highlight kelim shonim, different vessels, different utensils, v'hachshorosim lepesach, and kashering them, making them useful for Pesach. In other words, these are different utensils that were used during the year with chometz. Can you prepare them? Can you kasher them? Can you ready them for Pesach use? Omale Ravino Ravashi. And if you skim down the page, so you see we'll talk about sakini, knives, eitz porur, it's a type of ladle used for stirring pots, moni de kunya are glazed vessels. The Gemara, Omale Ravino Ravashi, hani sakini de pischa, Hechi Avdinon Lehu, the preparation of knives for Pesach, how is that to be done? There's a bracketed section, and if you skip the brackets momentarily, you will see that the method of kashering the knives is presented. And it says right after the brackets, Katayu Betino, the handles which were made of wooden handles with metal blades, the handles would be coated in clay or in cement, and Upazalayu Benura, and then you would leaving the metal blade exposed, you would then insert that into a fire. And the Gemara then goes on how you continue the process. What about kashering the handle, as we will see after the brackets? In the meantime, let's go back over the bracketed section. Ravina asked Ravashi, how do we prepare our chometz or our year-round knives for Pesach? Amarle, Ravashi answers, I have a very simple solution. The DD, as far as for me, Chadato Koavdin, and I simply make new knives. I go out and buy new knives. Amarle, Ravina said to Ravashi, Tenach Mor De'efshale. That's a great solution for someone like you, sir, that has the means. Ravashi was a well-to-do individual, and he could buy a new set of knives for Pesach. De'lo Efshale, my, what about a person who doesn't have the means? Is there any solution for him to use his year-round knives on Pesach? Omele, Ravashi answered, said to Ravina, he said, like, you didn't get the point. When I said new, I didn't mean that I go out and buy new knives. Ano ke'in chadato kamino. I make my year-round knives like new. What does that mean, to make them like new? So it has to do with a total cleansing, total kashering. And how is that done? Katayu betino. Well, you're dealing here with knives that have a wooden handle and a metal blade. So the katayu, the handle, is covered with tino, with clay, making it, let's say, we'll say, a fire-retardant material. Uparzalayu, and the metal blade, benura, that's inserted into a fire. The fire will then burn out whatever chometz may be absorbed. The hodar ma'ayulino lekatayu b'roisun, and then he would remove the clay coating from the wooden handle, and immerse the wooden handle in boiling water. The Gemara rules idi v'idi b'roisun ubekli rishon. No need to expose the blade to an open fire. All you do is you take the knife with its handle and immerse it in boiling water. Kli Rishon would mean a pot of boiling water that's sitting on the fire, a pot that had been on the fire, as opposed to, let's say, pouring hot water into a bowl and placing the knives into that. That would not be effective. Omar Rav Huna Breid Rav Yoshua Eitz Porur. This is a vessel, a utensil that's used for stirring pots. Magiloi beroischin, it's to be boiled up in boiling water, bekli rishon, in a pot sitting on the fire. Kosavar, he is of the opinion, kebolo kach polto, as it absorbed, so too it exudes. In other words, if you were using this ladle to stir, let's say, a pot of boiling noodles, so it absorbed the chometz while you were using it to stir a pot on the fire. So in order to expunge the problem, the chometz, from it, so you expose the knife to the same circumstances that were present when it originally absorbed. That's what this expression means, kibolo, as it absorbed, kach polto, so too it will exude, you can expunge the absorption. Bo mine mimremar. The question was asked of Mremar. This question, you'll notice, lasts a number of lines because part of the contents of the question is, in fact, something that we are not going to be asking about because it's so obvious. We're going to be speaking here about clay vessels that have that are coated in a glaze. Bo'u mine mimrema hani moni dekunya. Those are moni, are vessels. Dekunya are reference to glazed coated vessels. Mahu lishtamushibu bepesach. Can one use them on Pesach? And once again, we're talking about clay vessels that were coated with a glaze. and they were used during the year. They were used for chametz. And the question here is, can you kasher these vessels? Yeruka lo tiboyaloch devadai asiri. Yeruka is a type of color, and the color reflects the original substance that was used to make the glaze. So if you can identify the substance that the glaze is based on, so you'll know whether it is subject to kashering or not. On the side, Rashi says, Yeruki asun mikarka. This glaze is made from some type of mineral substance. It's based on mineral that you mine from the ground. Shechoifer mimeno tsorif. That tsorif, which is an alum in a foreign tongue. Vahu az ubolea leolam. It's a very absorbent material. So that yeruka, which is a type of, it's a color, but the color is, the kashrus here is not based on the color, obviously. The color simply represents the source of the material from which the glaze was made. So this yeruka kind of glaze is not a question. The vade asiri, they are definitely usur. In other words, if you have, it was glazed with this, we'll call it this yeruka colored glaze, and it was used for chometz, there's no way, because of its highly absorbing nature, there's no way to kasher it. Kitiboy aloch, the question arises, uchmi v'chivri, mai. The vessels are glazed with a black or a white type glaze. Furthermore, the following is not a question. V'hecho de'isbu kartufni lo tiboy aloch. If there are cracks in the glazed surface, there is no question. Devarei asiri, these vessels are certainly usur. There's no way to release the absorbed chometz when the chometz was entered the cracks in the glaze. In a sense, or in effect, the clay there was direct absorption by the clay. And clay, as we saw before, other than in the case of a tanur, clay is a substance that absorbs and doesn't release that which it absorbed. Mm-hmm. So if the uchmi or chivri, uchmi are black and chivri are white, if these kind of glazed vessels have cracks in the glaze, there's no solution. Kitiboy aloch the shi'i mai, we're talking about is the surface of these vessels is still smooth. Shi'i means smooth. So there are no cracks. What do we do? Omar le, Remar says, Chazino luhu de medaisi. Remar says that I noticed that there was some type of condensation forming on the outside of these vessels. In other words, these vessels, when they were filled with whatever substance, chometz, the outside wall had condensation on it, which indicated to me that the vessel actually absorbed material, even though they were glazed. Absorbed through the walls of the vessel, there was exusion from whatever it had contained on the outside wall of the vessel. This shows almo bali vasiri. It shows me that these vessels, even though they're smooth and they're made with the glaze of the white or black nature, nevertheless those kind of vessels do absorb, and therefore they're usur. My taimo haturo. The Torah proclaims that clay vessels have no solution. The Rashi gives more background to that and points out that the Torah, when it describes wooden or metal vessels, it describes them being either immersed in a boiling solution, or they are put into the fire. But there is a method of kashering them. That's with regard to wood and metal. However, when it comes to kli cheres, the Torah says, yishover, smash. They're to be smashed. You want to ask a question that lasts a couple of lines. Umay shno le'inyin yayin nesech. What is different about our case of vessels that were used for chometz and the case of forbidden wine? Yayin nesech is wine that was handled or used by idol worshippers, and that type of wine is strictly forbidden. The Dorish Remar taught money, the kunya, glazed vessels, in the context of wine, forbidden wine that was contained in glazed vessels. And Remar said, money de kunya bein uchma bein chivroi ubein yuruki shori. Even yuruki are allowed. In other words, the vessels that had contained yayin esech, even though the yayin esech is a forbidden substance, once you empty the vessels of the yayin esech, these glazed vessels, uchmi, chivri, and yuruki, can still be used. The chitemo, you might try to say, well, there's a difference between our topic of the chometz and the case of the yayin nesech. And what's that difference? Yayin nesech derabonon chometz doraisa. Yayin nesech in general, unless you see it stirred by a Gentile and poured in front of an idol, otherwise, if it was simply a vessel that was held, let's say, by a Gentile, so it would be an Isur Durabonon. It would be forbidden on a rabbinic level. And Chometz, that we said there is no solution, that's because it's on a Torah level. That's not a good distinction. Called the Tikkun Rabbonon Kein Doraisa Tikkun. When the rabbis institute rabbinic rulings, they do so patterning them after the Torah level ruling. So that if you find in the Torah, at a Torah level issue like chometz, and the vessels have no solution, so too the case ought to be with Yayin Nesach, even if you say that it is the Rabbonon. Omar Lay, so he answers. There's a very basic difference between the issue of the chometz vessels, the glazed vessels used for chometz, and the glazed vessels used for yayin esech. Yayin esech, as we said, is wine. Wine that was handled, that was stirred by an idol worshipper. They were used in cold, meaning the wine was cold when it was in the vessel. The vessels use in the context of yayin is without any heat. Therefore, there is no absorption that takes place. However, when you're dealing with chometz pots that were used with chometz over a fire, so that causes absorption. And then, hence, in the case of the chometz, there is no solution. Omar Rava bar Abba, Omar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Omar Shmuel, Kol hakelim shenishtamshu bohen chometz betzonein. All kinds of utensils that were used with chometz in a cool environment, meaning no fire, vessels that were not used over the fire, cups, bowls, a type of vessel, nishtamesh bohen matzah. You can use those vessels. Matzah is just another way of saying use them over on Pesach, when all you're allowed to eat is something that's matzah, meaning non-chometz. Chutz min beis se'or, with the exception of this vessel called a beis se'or, this is a vessel that women use in the context of baking, preparing a dough. And in this particular vessel, the women used to leave the sourdough, which is called se'or. It's an intense, it's a intensely fermented dough that's used for causing other doughs to rise. And the se'or was left in this vessel called beis'or for quite a few hours. Rashi says sometimes it would be left the sourdough would be left in this vessel overnight. Therefore, this kind of vessel, even though it's not used in heat, but nevertheless, we don't allow you to use it on Pesach. Hoyul shechimutzo kasha, because the exposure to the chametz was rather intense, as we just described. Omar Avashi, ubeis charoises kebeis se'or, shechimutzo kasha domi. Another vessel that has the same halachic standard as the beis se'or is called the beis charoises. Rashi says that it's a vessel that people would keep vinegar in it, and the custom was to dip bread, other chametz substances in this vinegar. And that combination of the chametz in the vinegar that was kept in this vessel caused it to be associated with intense fermentation, intense chametz. Omar Rava, Hani Agni de Mechoza. Agni are bowls used for kneading dough. And in Mechoza, the name of a city. So we have the Mechoza bowls. Hoyel utadiri le melesh bu chamira, umashu bu chamira. Since people were always, tadiri means something on an ongoing basis, on a regular ongoing basis. They were used on a regular basis for kneading. Chamira is chometz dough. Umashu buchamir, and they would leave the dough in there. Kebeis sor shechmusa koshe domi. It would have the same status as the beis sor mentioned above. The Gemara says pshita. That's obvious. The Gemara says mahu de temo kevo de revicha sholit buhu avir of alobali. Since these bowls, these agni de mechuza, are quite, the revicha means they're wide. And as such, there's a lot of air that circulates in them, and that would retard the absorption. Komash Malon, therefore, it was necessary for Rava to tell us that you can't rely on that, and it's rather like the base Seor and forbidden to use on Pesach. Before we conclude, we I want to just point out that the next Mishnah begins an entirely new topic and an entirely new train of thought. Hence, even though we haven't reached the new Omid yet, this is a convenient place to pause. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.